Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. I won't have time to get to this morning, but this is the result of the Spirit's filling. This is the overflow of that. You're gonna be having a joyful heart, singing to the Lord, giving thanks always. That's what we're talking about. Giving thanks always for all things, not just the good things, because some of the bad experiences, the difficulty that you experience, turn out for your good. The things that you think, oh, disappoint me now, but a week later you find out that God had turned that into your good. So we have to learn to give thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to tell us some of the relationships submitting to one another. Wives submitting themselves to their husbands. Husbands loving your wives. And he goes on with a whole array of things that are the overflow and the result of Ephesians 5:18. But I'm just going to deal with Ephesians 5:18 at the moment. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know, I'm sure in this church, at least in my younger life, right after my conversion to Jesus Christ, every time a preacher announced that they were going to speak on the filling of the Holy Spirit in chapel at the school or whatever, I was there with my ears just pointed upward and outward, listening to every word. Because I indeed wanted to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And each one had a little different approach, but all, of course, said to hunger for the Lord, to just open your heart to Him. And then He'd have you come to the altar and pray to receive the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how many times I went to the altar for that blessed experience. And sometimes it is a wonderful thing. You can experience a joy, a filling, who knows what kind of emotional experience you might have. But the message was challenging, to be sure. But often they were unrealistic expectations as to what, after you're filled, what you're going to be. And of course, in every case, at least in my young mind, I felt that if I was filled with the Holy Spirit, that, now this is stupid, but I mean, in a sense you feel that you're not going to be sinning anymore. You're going to be some kind of super saint. If I was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that was at least some of the image that I conjured up in my mind as to what I should be. But what I should be and often what I am are two different things altogether. And if I don't realize these expectations, which I didn't in my own life, usually then you say, well, it was wonderful, that experience that I had at the altar, but I'm cold and lukewarm and I don't feel close to God and all that kind of jargon. And so therefore we just kind of drift off into a so-called normal life. A normal life where God is far off and we're trying to make our way ahead. And that's why today I want to probably deal with this subject in a way that you've never heard before. And I'm going to deal with it not just on the basis of a text and a sermon. I'm going to give you a real Greek study of this passage, those simple words. First of all, the words be filled in the Greek are in the imperative mood. The imperative mood. If you want to jot some of these things down, you're welcome to do so. And what the imperative mood means is this, that this is a command. Imperative. It's a command from God to you. Be filled with the Spirit. It's as much a command of God to be filled with the Spirit as it is for you to not be drunk with wine. Equally a command. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not optional for the Christian. It's the spiritual obligation for everyone who sits in this building who names the name of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's commanded as much of the housewife at the sink as it is this preacher in the pulpit. It's commanded of all of us, be filled with the Spirit. And it's not to be complied with in the future, but it's to command to be filled now, in this room, before we leave, every one of us to leave, with the sense and the knowledge that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And probably in your mind, you're even questioning, how could that be for me? Well, if you listen carefully, you'll find out exactly how that can be true for every single one of us. Because that leads us to the second thing, the second tense. It's in the passive voice. It's not only in the imperative mood, a command, but it's in the passive voice. That means that you cannot do it yourself. It has to be something or someone outside of you affecting this change. This is something done for us and not done by us. What this implies is that when I come to God with this command to be filled, and I feel that I'm not, all I can offer God is my emptiness. Lord, I'm not filled. I'm just a poor sinner struggling along in my Christian life. And I just offer you what I am. I'm cold. I'm empty. I'm needy, but God, I'm coming to you. But remember, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not an attainment, something you do for yourselves, but it's an obtainment, something that I receive from Him. So we offer Him our emptiness. And do you realize if we often came before God just that way, empty, needy, that we would be filled more often? It becomes ours as we realize our emptiness, our neediness, and then confessing what we really are. Confessing what I know to be wrong in my life. Confessing attitudes that I know to be wrong toward people. And on a daily basis, doing this. So it becomes ours. As we come to Jesus, empty, needy, confessing our weaknesses and our failures. And think of it. If we're saved apart from works, and every evangelical Christian believes that, we're saved by what? Grace. And not by works. Now, if indeed that is true of your salvation, wouldn't you think that the same principle would work when God commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You're not going to be filled because of what you do and how hard you do it. But you're going to be filled on the same basis that you came to God to be saved, on your emptiness, neediness, and confessing and crying out for Him to save you. Let me give you my friend Roy Hessian, the author of The Calvary Road and many other books, and a man who so affected my life in my early Christian life. Roy Hessian gives his personal testimony this way. He said, I was oppressed with a deep sense of failure. I was in a state of personal and spiritual defeat. But one day I was turned, that very day actually, I was turning idly in my book. And I happened to be looking and suddenly two words stood out to me, he says. And those words were these, be filled, be filled. But he said quietly to the Lord, but Lord, I am such a failure. I know, God said to his heart, I know that you're a failure, but be filled. But Lord, how can I be filled with your Spirit so soon after this great defeat in my spiritual life? So the Holy Spirit whispered to my heart, be filled, Roy, and be filled now. He said, that was the last message that I ever thought that the Lord would give to me that day. Here I am at the lowest, and I'm going to rise to the highest. Yes, it seemed impossible to me, Roy said, but when I saw the power of Jesus' blood, when I recognized that power, I could only say, Amen, Lord, both to his command and to his filling. It's a beautiful truth that God wants us to remember. The Holy Spirit was not given for super saints, J. Hudson Taylor, and all of the other great spiritual, Moody and Billy Graham and others. Holy Spirit wasn't given just for super saints who by their dedication to God seem to be more qualified for the blessing of the Holy Spirit than I am. But the Holy Spirit is for sinners who have failed, who have become cold, or are willing to admit that they are, and then to repent and claim the blessing and the filling. That is the simple truth, the passive voice. Something he'll do for me on the basis that I recognize who I am and who he is and what he's done. And you see, the thing is, we've forgotten that the blood of Jesus wasn't just shed on the cross to save my wretched soul back when I was saved in 1954. But the blood of Christ has arced the ages. It's effective now, just as much now as when he shed it 2,000 years ago. But we've lost the vision of the power of Jesus' blood to cleanse me today from all sin. Only based on the fact that I will confess it as sin. That's all he looks for. That's why the Bible says, if we confess our sin, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. If we confess. And you know, there's an interesting thing in the Greek in that word confess. That word confess, synago, is a compilation of two words, which it means to say the same thing about something. That's what that word confess. Say the same thing. Now let me translate it. If I say the same thing about the sin that I just committed as God says about it, he cleanses it, and I go on walking in the Spirit. all that he wanted. You lost your temper, let's say. And you come to finally after you blew off your fuse in the steam. But what are you going to do with it? Are you going to say, well, my wife or my sister or brother, they're the ones that caused me to do that. My nerves were just shot. You're excusing your sin. Like Dr. Pepper used to say, no one can make you lose your temper. No one can make you lose your temper. You choose to lose your temper. But we all do at times. But what do we do with it? Do we excuse it? Do we just forget about it? No. The moment that I get my senses cleared, I say to God, God, that was sin, nothing but. I confess it as sin. And you know what God says? Son or daughter, that's all I wanted. I wanted you to say the same thing about it that I say about it. As long as you don't excuse it, but that you will confess it and repent of it, God cleanses it that minute. And you go on walking in the Spirit. McConkie says, the great Scottish preacher, keep short accounts with God. Don't wait till you go to bed that night and say, Lord, forgive me all my sins. Start in the morning when you lose your temper, you get up in a bad mood and everything, you begin to acknowledge it. You begin to call it what it is, bad attitude, bad sin. And the moment you do, God cleanses it. And you're walking in the Spirit. You're filled. You can't be any more filled than when you're clean. You see, you say, well, some people try to say that we're saying that you're sinless. No, I'm not saying you're sinless. You're never sinless. No matter how much that you receive of God's fullness, what I am saying is every believer can be sin-free. Sin-free. That means when I sin, I confess and I go on walking in the Spirit. How much nearer to sinlessness can you be? If I confess that thing as sin, God says, okay, that's all I wanted you to do. Go on walking. Go on living. Go on enjoying the present, my presence. That's being filled with the Spirit. Not some one-time joyous thing. And I'm not being condemnatory of my brothers and sisters, and I'm not using this in condemnation. I'm using this by way of illustration. That they believe that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of it is that you speak in tongues. Well, that's indeed. Let's say that we acknowledge that that indeed is the filling of the Holy Spirit. But that's a one-time thing. You can't go on doing that constantly, constantly, constantly. What happens when that experience dries up and you lose your temper, or you say a bad word, or you begin to lust over something? What are you going to do with it then? That's why now there are books put out to help those that have had that kind of experience, because they're defeated. They've had the fullness and now they don't. And what am I going to do next? Do you see how practical I'm making this? That's what I'm saying. Most of us have never heard of the filling of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Not because I'm sinless, not because I don't sin, but I know what to do with my sin. And I know not to excuse my sin, not to make light of my sin. This is what God wants every one of us to do. That's why it's a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because everyone in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, can be filled with the Holy Spirit based on what I just said. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and what? Cleanse us. That means that it's gone. Whatever you did, if you confess, say the same thing about it. No matter what it is, you don't have to beg God. I used to think early in my Christian life, when I sinned against God, did something that I really felt was right, I just keep on, oh God, forgive me, oh Lord. And several times I said, oh Lord, forgive my sin, oh God, I'm such a failure. I don't have to go on with that. The first time I said, God, that was sin, forgive me, the Lord said, you're forgiven. That's what the Word says, that you're cleansed. And it's no longer there. It's no longer an impediment in your life. You're clean. Go on walking. That's why the Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, this is what you're doing when we do it this way. If you read John 7, 37 and 38, which I'm not going to do, there's only two things required for God's fullness. First of all, you've got to thirst. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, you've got to have a thirsty heart. God, I want to be filled. I want to know this. I want to be your servant. If you've got that kind of heart, God is going to fill your life. Second thing is, trust that He does. If I do what I just said, confess my sins, walk in the Spirit, believe and trust that He is guiding my life. Now the third and final tense is this. It's not only a command, imperative mood. It's not only in the passive voice, something that God will do for me if I will walk in the Spirit. It's also in the present continuous tense in the Greek. Now, we don't have the present continuous tense in the English language. There is no continuous tense like this. So the nearest that we can bring it this literally is this. Be ye being filled by the Spirit. Be ye being filled. It's not a one-time bam! It's a continuous sense of walking with God, keeping short accounts, as I just said, with God. It's literally being filled, not once or even occasionally, but continually. Unless we do this, any experience that I ever had in the past will simply become a wonderful memory. The blood that cleansed us yesterday can cleanse us today if we will repent today. 1 John 1:7 is also one of those verses that are in the Greek in the continuous tense. It reads this way. If we continue walking in the light, as He is in the light, the blood goes on cleansing us from all sin. The blood goes on cleansing, like a river flowing on the stream. If I continue walking in the light, what is that word? Have you read that, walking in the light? What does that mean? What I said. You lose your temper, walking in the light says, I say to God, I lost my temper. And not excuse it, my wife didn't cause me to do it, my siblings didn't cause me to do it, I did it. That's the only way you can keep on with God, not excusing your sin. We've got to face it and quit excusing it in any fashion. Let me give you this illustration of a lady missionary in East Africa. In East Africa, this is the last place that I know of course, that has been experienced revival, real revival, for the last 60 to 70 years. This is where Norman Grubb was touched. This was where Roy Hessian was touched, out of the East African revival. And this lady missionary was part of a group on a compound there. And she gave this testimony. She told how one morning she came out walking on the compound and an African Christian leader said to her, "Sister, are you praising the Lord this morning?" She talked for a moment. "Well," she said, "if you want to know the truth, I'm not. Not this morning." And that little African Christian said, "Why is that?" "Well," she said, I lost my temper in the bungalow this morning. And all that that African Christian said to her was this: has the blood of Jesus lost its power? Has the blood of Jesus lost its power? And she said, that was the message I needed. I saw it, and indeed, the blood had not lost its power. And it was not long before I had come to the Lord in repentance, been cleansed and filled afresh with a consequent testimony of praise to Him. How real and vital that is. I hope you caught through these things, through these tenses, through this message, that the Holy Spirit's fullness is not based upon some begging and pleading. And the vice president of Trinity College once told this testimony. He said his father-in-law had been going to the altar for 50 years seeking to be filled with the Spirit. I thought, how sad. Because why was he going to the altar for 50 years seeking to be filled with the Spirit? One, he thought he wasn't filled. Secondly, he thought it was some great experience that had to come inside of him for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When he could, all he had to do was to confess whatever sin he felt brought him to that altar and recognize the power of Jesus' blood to cleanse that sin, and then he could go on walking in the joy of the Lord, in peace, in joy, and in fullness. No filling of the Holy Spirit, no matter how outstanding and how electrifying it can do, can be maintained except by the walk that I just shared with you this morning. We are kept clean by a continual walking in the light. And we, as Roy Hessen once said, we can be no cleaner than what the blood of Christ can make us when we call sin, sin. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. We can be no cleaner than what the blood of Christ can make us when we call sin, sin. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled now. Be filled this morning. How? By acknowledging your transgression. By confronting whatever right now the Holy Spirit is putting into your mind. Where you're at odds with God. Where you grieve the Spirit. Where you've quenched His working in your life. The moment you call it what it is, sin, and say, Jesus, cleanse it. Wash it away. Then you say, thank you, Lord. If we confess, He's faithful and just to forgive. And believe that. Just as you believe that, you know, when, that He died on the cross to save your sin, and you embrace that, and you confess that, and you were saved by His grace, just as really as that is true, the same grace that saved your soul, that same grace exists to cleanse you daily from your sin. All He does is want your acceptance of the truth and experience of His cleansing. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, how many of you would be honest with God enough to say, even as you're preaching this morning, Pastor Don, the Holy Spirit has pointed things out to my mind, and I'm going to confess them right now and trust God right now to cleanse me from my sins. How many will admit the truth? God has been pointing things out to me. Just lift your hand and put it down all over this. But God bless you and you and you and you. You. And over to my left side. How is God? Has God been pointing things out to you? In your mind, you know what they are. Now just begin to name them. Name them and call them for what they are, sin. And say, God, cleanse that one and this one and this one. And Lord, I want to walk out of this room today filled. Filled not because I'm a super saint, not because I'm somebody special, but because on the basis of your promise, you said if I'd confess my sin, you'd cleanse me of my sin, and I will walk in the Spirit and have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I praise God for every one of you. Let's just take a moment of silent prayer and do that very thing in each of our lives. I was doing this in my car on the way here this morning so that I could be clean and a vessel that the Holy Spirit could be using for His glory. So just as really, I want you to name the things that are standing between you and the fullness with God. How many, by grace through faith, can say, I've done business with the Lord today, and I'm willing to accept His word that I can walk out of this building today filled with God's Spirit, with a sense of cleanness, because I've repented and confessed? How many of you can lift your hand and say that today? Yeah. God bless you all over this room. That's all He wants. You're not some special Christian, you know, on J. Hudson Taylor or somebody like that. But you're just simply a child of God living His way. You're not sinless. I'm not sinless. None of us in this room are. We all have room for corrective cleansing every single day. All God wants is to accept the command, realize it's in the passive voice that only He can do it, but it has to be done continually by my being cleansed from all unrighteousness. Shall we stand and be dismissed this morning? Is there any other? Well, we have the announcement made at the beginning.
Father, thank You for the time we've had together, being filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Father, that's the most important things of our lives. We like filling our stomachs, but Father, we need to fill our lives with You. And now as we go to fill our stomachs, Father, help us to do that, not fill our eyes, but our stomachs. Help us to enjoy the time of fellowship, too, as we get to talk with one another, to meet new folks and make new friends. Father, bless this day. Bless those who have cooked the food and brought it in. Bless those who are here today. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.